This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Show me the money, Rudy to the rescue, and Sarah Sanders blasted, and hearings called for on the Stormy Daniels payment. Let's start with the Republican, or the rep, Republican congressman from Pennsylvania that said Americans have to start asking, how does Sarah Huckabee Sanders go to work every day if she was sent out there to mislead the American people? Wow. Again, Republican Charlie Dent. So he's a top Trump critic, and he lit up the White House press secretary for misleading the country about the payment to Stormy Daniels and said there should be congressional oversight hearings on the matter. So Dent is not running for re-election. Was incredulous when Trump's new attorney, Rudy Giuliani, told Sean Hannity that President Trump was aware that his attorney, Michael Cohen, made a $130,000 payment to Daniels. He said it's clear that somebody wasn't telling the truth, either Sarah Huckabee Sanders or the president. So he's saying, liar, liar, pants on fire. Wow. But he's not running for re-election, and I think this is business as usual. We'll see what happens. You know, it's interesting, too, because I was looking at some things that were trending right before I jumped here on the air, which, by the way, I'm broadcasting from the nation's capital. Yes, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, from the seat of liberty or something like that. So, how about Rudy Giuliani, the former New York City mayor, who did an exclusive interview on Hannity, and he joined, of course, President Trump's legal team defending him in the special counsel investigation into alleged Russian collusion, which is being headed by the former FBI Director Robert Mueller. Giuliani has been a friend of Donald Trump's for a long time and involved in New York City politics and all that, of course. So, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that Giuliani said is, The Mueller investigation is an outrageous miscarriage of justice. And in his interview he said people can't blame Trump for feeling that he's being mistreated in this investigation. That, you know, he talked about it being ridiculous and saying that he has a unique qualification of having a relationship with both Trump and Mueller, and thinks that, you know, this thing has gone on so long, which is, of course, my take, if you listen to the show, is how much longer does it go on if there's nothing there? We keep hearing words collusion, subpoenas, connections to Kislyak, whatever, but we've been hearing that for a year and a half. And remember, all that money for this investigation comes from our pockets. So if you're going to spend money on the investigation, you better nail something to the board. I'm just saying. Do you think they're going to nail the president in any way? Do you think there really is? I mean, here's the first question. Is there really going to be a subpoena? And even Rudy himself said 50-50 chance. And he's got to prepare for the 50% chance that the president could be subpoenaed. But right now, it's not clear. It's kind of like the weather in L.A. Not sure if we're going to be able to see down the 101. Not sure if it's going to be a clear day or not. This is just going to keep playing out over and over and over again. All right, Cinco de Mayo. Anybody out there, raise your hand, because I have my special hand-raising glasses where I can see every hand in America if they go up. I thought so. I see a ton of hands going up in the Capitol because I'm here now. So Cinco de Mayo recognizes, of course, the Mexican Army's 1862 win over France. But it's weird. It's not considered a Mexican federal holiday. It's also not Mexico's Independence Day. That's celebrated in September. So May 5th isn't about really history. It's about drinking, Mexican food, culture, all that kind of stuff. And it's just kind of a standalone day except for the Derby. Saturday is also the Kentucky Derby. And by the way, National Hoagie Day. So what a twist. And since I'm from Philly originally, I get the whole hoagie thing. So there's all kinds of specials going on. If you go to Abuelo's, you can get a $5 Mexican draft beer, and that comes with in a free 22-ounce plastic cup, and then a flag goes with it. There's a flag and a margarita that's sold in a separate souvenir dome cup because, I don't know, do you keep the souvenir cups? It's like when you go to a baseball game, do you get the giant cups that have the team logo on it? If you're the other, that guy I'm married to that you hear on the air, you get the souvenir cups and annoy your wife because we have all these souvenir cups from all these different events. And either we don't use them or that's all we have to use. All right, so if you have a BJ's in your neck of the woods, a restaurant and a brew house, that's what it is, BJ's Restaurant and Brew House, through Sunday, you get one entree and two beverages. You get a second entree half off. Ooh. But, I mean, no surprise. This is what you do when you own a restaurant, right? You tie it to a holiday, and you throw a couple of bucks off here or there. If you want to go hang at Bubba Gump Shrimp, you can get $1 tacos, $4 Corona extra bottles in the bar, and at the lounge area, they're participating in it. So, and there's many more, but if I sit here and read them all, then it would be a ridiculous version of America tonight, wouldn't it? So we're not going to tell you where you can get all your special drinks. Just go to your search engine and look up Cinco de Mayo deals, and trust me, they'll come up. They will. They'll come up. All right, speaking of Stormy Daniels, I'm going to bounce back there. NBC had to correct a big story that, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, it used to be when newspapers messed something up, they had to do a retraction, and of course it was in tiny print on, like, page 5 or whatever. But NBC News, this bombshell story that claimed federal agents wiretapped President Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, was corrected. The report said Cohen's calls were being monitored for several weeks, and investigators intercepted at least one call between a line associated with Cohen and a line at the White House. NBC backed off that hours after the report, saying that the feds instead had a log of the calls and cited anonymous sources. Then ABC followed up NBC and said they confirmed the listening of phone calls, that was happening, and corrected the story. So they just had a list of calls. Well, there's a big difference there. We're listening to calls, or we have a list of calls. And see, here's the thing. A list of calls would just mean you're looking up numbers, you're seeing what connections there are to that, you know, that whole kind of thing, versus we are listening to calls, we specifically are hearing or intercepting, have heard calls, intercepted calls that have direct ties to what we're looking into. And then, of course, that's a whole different ball game. I mean, that's different than having lists. Of course it is. And that set off a firestorm of conversation. I know when I heard it, that's exactly what I thought. Like, wow, this is crazy if they have this list of, I mean, if they're listening in. But apparently that was not the case. Hey, coming up next, speaking of numbers, we've got my version of numbers. It's called We Can Count, and we have that coming up next here on America Tonight.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests.
Wherever you are, I will find you.
Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Time for another edition of We Can Count. Tons of numbers to talk about, including this crazy Southwest engine story and pieces of the broken fan blade that were found inside, and also the Cavaliers with a 2-0 commanding lead over Toronto. Could be a date with destiny again with the Warriors. Who knows? Too early to tell yet. But first, let's dive in to this one. When we talk about numbers, two pieces of a broken fan blade were found inside the engine of a Southwest Airlines jet, but other pieces dislodged the cowl that fatally damaged the wing and fuselage of a Boeing 737. One passenger died, 8 others were injured. This happened back on April 17th when one of the 24 fan blades broke off inside the plane's left engine during a flight from New York to Dallas. The pilots were able to land safely, thank goodness, with one engine in Philadelphia, despite problems controlling the plane. Airline engines are designed to hold broken pieces to prevent them from damaging the rest of the plane or injuring passengers, but the majority of the front engine cowl, the entire outer blade, the aft bulkhead, and the inner barrel forward of the containment ring were knocked out off the Southwest engine. It's frightening to read those details, I have to tell you that. And the manufacturers are saying that CFM International issued a service bulletin calling for inspections on all these fan blades, because here's your number, on similar engines with at least 20,000 flights. And then subsequently, after every 3,000 cycles of takeoffs and landings, but I'll tell you what, I mean, to me, can you imagine? The FAA updated their order on Wednesday, saying that 3,700 plus engines in the U.S. fleet would have to be inspected at a cost of $631,720. Bottom line is this: nobody wants to get on a plane where we're going to have some kind of a similar experience. And it's all about maintaining and checking and, you know, everything in between, maintenance with airplanes and the other used to have to do some of that. So I'm very familiar with checks and looking at logs and, you know, that whole kind of thing. And wow, frightening. I mean, the details of that flight are just frightening. All right, how about the Cavaliers? I'm going to jump to quickly a couple of quick sports hits, sort of a mini invade the man cave right in the middle of all of our week and count numbers. But these are big numbers. LeBron James, 43 points. Kevin Love, 31 points. He hadn't been contributing much, and the Cavaliers just hammered the Raptors, 128-110. And they've got a 2-0 lead in that series. It's not a surprise, I think, to me, because certainly LeBron James is the best player, one of the best players on the floor when it comes to postseason in the NBA. I mean, absolutely. All right, another quick hit for you. It's official. Jason Witten says goodbye to the Dallas Cowboys and hello Monday Night Football. I mean, what is it with the Cowboys and broadcasting? You have, if you think of all the broadcasters, Tony Romo, of course, Troy Aikman, Daryl Johnson, Michael Irvin, just throw in Jason Witten to the mix. And I think he's well-spoken and has probably a really good shot at making some success post-career in a broadcasting kind of way, digging it out in that booth. Because, hey, man, he knows the players. He knows football. And I think he has a great chance to do something with this. And he said he never wanted the day to come, but it comes for everybody. And he says there's an old saying in football. Did you ever hear this one? The circus doesn't stay in town forever. The older you get, the more you realize there's a deeper meaning. And it's better to leave 3 hours too soon than a minute too late. And I think that's a smart decision by him, because the Cowboys are not going to be ready to win a Super Bowl in what he has left time-wise, most likely, for the Dallas Cowboys. So it, you know, for him and the Cowboys. So it makes sense, because the Monday night opportunity would go away, and it's a very unique opportunity for him. There's only so many jobs to go around, and there's so many ex-football players, and somebody else would have snapped that up in a second. I mean, just in an absolute second. All right, want to talk about a recall here for a second. Anybody like hamburgers? Yeah. Anyone make hamburgers on grills at home? Uh-huh. Anyone go to Kroger and get ground beef? Yeah. So check in all three cases. Now, I'm talking about a North Carolina food processor recalling more than, ready for this number, 17.7 tons of ground beef. Do the math. How much ground beef is that per, like, think of burgers and how many people, I mean, that's a ton. Some was sold in Kroger stores. Now, JBS USA is recalling over 35,000 pounds of raw ground beef processed at its North Carolina facility. Again, possible contamination with hard plastic pieces. So none of this bodes well and makes people nervous when they hear these stories, but they got to issue these recalls, and they can't take any chances, and they know that. So that's why they're all over it, because they don't want to end up in the, well, they don't want to end up in court. They don't want to be sued. They don't want anything to happen, and that's where they get sued. Come on. All right, so moving on to some more numbers for you. And boy, there's just, you know, a ton of them, including 50-50. Rudy Giuliani is now the man standing next to the president. He's his lawyer, and he says there's a 50-50 chance that he could be subpoenaed by Robert Mueller with this whole investigation into Russia and collusion and the election and everything else. And there's another part to this, too. His new lawyer, the president's new lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, disputed claims that a $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels, an adult film star who claims to have had a sexual encounter with the prez, amounts to a campaign finance violation a day after disclosing that Trump had repaid Cohen the money, the $130,000 non-disclosure agreement with Daniels, because, of course, that wasn't out there before, and hours after the president confirmed it through Twitter, Giuliani said the money had nothing to do with the campaign, even though the original payment came just days before the election. So the Trump legal team is demanding testimony of no more than 2 to 3 hours with limited topics if, in fact, there is a subpoena. And if there's some sort of subpoena, then they have to come up with whatever the plan, whatever the plan is, and we have to stay tuned for that one because there's actually no tea leaves to really read. It's 50-50. I agree with Giuliani. I talked to some people at the Pentagon, and it's 50-50. There's that's it. By the way, I mentioned the thing about the Southwest airline where somebody died and the parts of the blades and how brutal that was right at the top of We Can Count. And just to make sure you're clear, there was another problem on the Southwest airline that was going to Newark, and it was diverted to Cleveland because of a broken window. And that's not good. That plane had 73 people at the time of the landing, no injuries. And Southwest, in a statement, said no emergency landing was requested. The plane was taken out of service for maintenance review. But you know that after the one huge incident than this, it makes people a little bit nervous and can make them think, well, what's going on in these planes? And do I feel safe flying Southwest? And luckily, again, it landed uneventfully, and it couldn't have been worse, though, for Southwest, because this is our fourth biggest airline. And ticket sales have been slow since the engine failure, the incident, on April 17th. A 43-year-old woman from Albuquerque was killed. And Southwest even says the drop in sales will cost between $50 million and $100 million. Wow. That's a lot for an airline to lose, but losing someone, sadly, like that poor woman, and having other people injured, and then having another incident with a cracked window, that's not going to help the case whatsoever. All right, two entertainers in a different way, both booted out of the Academy for various things. The Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences Board of Governors met on Tuesday night, voted to expel actor Bill Cosby and director Roman Polanski from their membership in accordance to what they say is the organization's standards of conduct, and they say they continue to encourage the ethical standards that require members to uphold the Academy's values of respect for human dignity. And of course, Roman Polanski hasn't lived in the United States since 1978. Bill Cosby, just being convicted in Philadelphia, didn't endear him, and then made them immediately think that they were going to expel him from the Academy of Motion Pictures. That actually is pretty big news. That's what they say is a wrap in the biz, meaning we're out of time, I got a ditch, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside our borders. At Miles Franklin, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box program in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid Foundational Storage, partnered with the most respected name in security. Maintaining an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Greg, I don't know about you, but I am a huge fan of the romance novel. My mother was a voracious reader, and after she passed away and we were cleaning out her place, I found underneath her bed stacks and stacks of romance novels. And this woman was brilliant. I mean, she was so, so smart. And I thought it was so cool that she also, besides reading all these heavy books about biographies, etc., that she had this passion for romance. And I think it's very cool that we have romance novelist Lauren Smith with us. And she has written a ton of books. But what's really, really cool about her, too, she has a secret. She's a lawyer by day and a fantasy novelist by night. Lauren, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So when I say lawyer by day and then you're this fantasy novelist by night, tell us about that. That's intriguing.
Well, you know, it's funny. It was like you were talking about with your mother and romance novels. I had never read a romance novel until I was in law school. Law school is such a grueling, stressful process, and I just remember thinking I needed a way to escape, and I was a big reader, and I'd been writing since the third grade, and one of my friends said, you know, you write love stories. Have you ever read a romance? And I said, oh my gosh, no, I don't read that stuff.
That's I would never read that, right? Romance right. novels, I'm not going to do that.
I'm too good for that. And then I started reading them, and I was blown away by the writing, the quality of the stories, the research that the writers put in. And what I really loved was that love stories aren't cheesy. They aren't cliche. They're about characters overcoming obstacles to be together and solving problems. And I just was astounded that I thought this genre has such a bad rap and the stories are so captivating and wonderful. And I thought, I want to write that. And so I survived law school by reading romances and writing romances. And then it just kind of took off and it became this kind of way to survive the stresses of being a lawyer, because during the day, you know, I would be, you know, stuck in court all day, and I would kind of just, you know, in between my cases on the dockets, I would pull out my notebook and just kind of write a few pages here or there, and it just kind of calmed me down and kind of helped me find my zen.
Were you ever, in writing in those stolen moments during your day job as a lawyer, kind of weaving the judge or the bailiff or the other attorneys or the defendants into your stories in any way?
You know, I was tempted. I think what a lot of people ask me is, you know, do you ever consider writing legal thrillers? And I've thought about it, but the thing is you have to really know something well to write it. And I think if I tried to write something really legal or have a lot of legal connections to my lawyer past, it would be really difficult to get it just right. I think, you know, John Grisham and those other attorneys, David Baldacci, what they do is so difficult, because I think other lawyers, when you read the books, my father's a lawyer too, and we read them and we think, oh, you know, they messed up on this little part, or they should have done this in this case, you know, and so I've steered away from that, and I try not to let anybody that I've met in real life kind of color my writing as far as characters, although I have had some amazing experiences that I thought someday, 20 years down the road when it's safe, I'm like, I might write some memoirs off of the things that I've seen in court over the years.
We're talking with Lauren Smith. Her website, by the way, is Lauren Smith Books. It's L-A-U-R-E-N Smith, S-M-I-T-H books.com, laurensmithbooks.com. She's a romance novelist, and you mentioned a law career as being in the past, so you're no longer working as a lawyer. You're a full-time novelist. And let me add to that question, when you discovered the romance novel to today, how much time passed? Because I think people are wondering, is this the kind of business or entrepreneurial opportunity that takes years to cultivate, or is it something that if I have the writing skills, I might be able to dive into and begin to build some success in a quick way?
It is quick, depending on what type of person you are. I knew going in that I wanted to make writing a full-time career, so I read my first romance novel in 2009, which was about midway through my second year of law school, and I passed the bar in 2011. I worked as a full-time attorney up until about a year and a half ago, and now I work part-time, so I kind of say it's in the past as far as full-time work, but I still work with sole practitioner attorneys out of my house. I write legal briefs, and I do research for them and proofread their briefs and other kind of small things that don't require me to go into court anymore. That way I can work full time. And the main thing that I would say is, if anybody's interested in this entrepreneurial effort as far as being a writer, it can happen, especially in this day and age with indie publishing or self-publishing being such a huge opportunity. What you have to do, though, is you have to approach the market and say, what is selling and can I write that? And that's the research you have to do, because I think a lot of people think, oh, I can write a book, and they want to write a book, but it might be not in a genre that sells well. So you have to be ready to adjust your writing ability and think, do I want to write mystery thriller? Do I want to write some commercial fiction, you know, romance, the stuff that is on the market in the airports, in the Walmart, stuff that people buy and read three or four books like that a week. That's the kind of stuff that makes money. So you have to approach it with a critical eye and say, what can I write that's going to sell and make money? And that took me about from my first book published in 2014 in January, and now I have about 25 titles out as of
25
now.
25 titles.
And I try to release six a year. So.
Yeah, wow. And so in saying that, and we'll get back to the books that you have, but how about using social media in your business as a romance novelist? I would think that could also meld well just to get the word out. Is that what you have to do as well?
Oh, yes. It's absolutely crucial. You know, the days of writers being in little cabins in Maine and enjoying their privacy is over. You know, I remember having a talk with my publicist, and she says, you have to take pictures of your life. Put it on Instagram. Show people what your day-to-day life is. And I remember thinking, but I'm so boring. How can you know? But what I realize is people love pictures of your pets. So my dogs are the stars of my Instagram account. And I've developed a Facebook group on Facebook where people, it's a private, you know, kind of exclusive group, and I share teasers with them. I let them know it's going on. I let them have inputs on my covers if I'm self-publishing a book, and I give them feedback, and I run special contests, and then they do reviews for me, and then they push me out on all of their social media accounts to share what they love. So it's really a give and take. In the romance reader community, readers are so involved with you, and they love your stories, and they care about your characters so much that they will go the extra mile if you really cultivate that relationship as a two-way street of friendship. And it takes a lot of effort, and it, for an introvert like me, it is a little difficult, but they make it so rewarding because they love your stories so much that it's like talking to friends every day when I get on social media and interact with them.
So because of that, I would assume with the, you know, 25 plus and pounding more out books, that people must wonder, and you're writing romance, they must wonder about your love life. Do people ask you questions about that?
I think that the running joke is people, my parents are very supportive of my romance writing career, and they're very involved in the business. They're sort of like part of my entrepreneurial team. And we have friends of theirs that always come up and ask my dad and my mom jokingly, and they say, was your daughter writing this from real life experience? And my dad goes, no, definitely not. It's a running joke. I mean, they just say no. But the trick is, you know, writing romance, all you have to do is read what other people out there have written, and you kind of can integrate the styles and what works in scenes to you. It's kind of almost, I jokingly say, it's almost scientific to write about love.
Which, of course, when you're falling in love, it's the least scientific thing in the world until you look at it biologically.
Right.
All right, we're talking with Lauren Smith. She's a romance novelist. Her website is laurensmithbooks.com. And I want to talk about your books and take kind of an interesting angle on this, Lauren, because, look, first of all, we're Forbes Books at Bedtime. So bedtime, perfect time to talk about romance novels, right? But we're also Forbes Books. And so you brought up marketing, and we're very interested in the marketing of romance novels and how you've learned that. And so one of the things I want to do is give you an opportunity to tell us about your books. For instance, you have a series called The League of Rogues. Tell us about the series and why, from a marketing perspective, writing a series of romance novels is so important.
A series is so important because the average romance reader will read 3 to 4 books a week. And if you can get them addicted to your book,
a week.
That's why it is a $2.8 billion industry in romance alone, and they prove it by reading that much.
So they go to get more books more than they go to the grocery store to get food.
Exactly.
Wow.
Kate, I think we're in the wrong business.
I know. That's incredible. Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable. Are you kidding? And what's the demographic? What's the demographic of the people who read romance novels that you know of?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Since the new adult, young adult genres, new adult being 12 to 18-year-old readers and new adult being 18 to 24-year-old readers, you've got this kind of what I call the twilight readers are aging up. The readers that were reading, you know, high school age fiction, they're in their college years now, and they are wanting more adult romances. And you're seeing a younger crowd transferring over. And so our demographic is now about between 18 and 80. Now, to be honest, we're spread that wide, with the average being in the 40s and 50s in age, but it's getting a lot younger.
So tell us about your books. If we're just hearing you for the first time and we have not discovered you at laurensmithbooks.com, which book would you recommend we get first to get started on that 3 to 4 a week?
Well, you know, that's a tough question because I'm one of the few authors that really tries to write everything under the sun. So I write historical romances, paranormal romances, contemporary romance. I do a little bit of erotic romance. But I would probably say, if you're just the average reader who hasn't been exposed to me, I would say the League of Rogues series, just because it's probably the funnest. You have these 5 guys in Regency England, and Regency England was a time period where men and women could get away with a lot of scandalous stuff. I mean, Jane Austen makes it sound very buttoned down, but that time period was pretty wild. You know, they didn't have any wars going on. They weren't fighting anybody. It was a kind of a 20-year period where they were kind of could just get into trouble socially on their own, and it was a lot of fun. And so I have these 5 men that have these very strong bonds of friendship, and they kind of get into all these little mishaps and adventures, and they fall in love along the way. And what's so captivating for my readers about that series is from the very first page of the first book, you have all 5 heroes present in the story. Even though one story focuses on one hero and one heroine, every single book in the series has all of the men and their future wives or current wives interacting. And so it's like you never have to say goodbye to those characters, and it only builds on that loyalty. I'm going to be releasing my 5th book this July, and I have fans that are absolutely raving mad. They just are desperate to get to so-and-so's story, which is book 7 or 8 down the line. You
that's
know? And it, it's
brilliant
just that
from a marketing perspective.
I love it.
Brilliant.
I love it. Lauren Smith, we are off to go and start on that series, Romance Novelist. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Days ago that Senator John McCain was diagnosed with brain cancer, and I know that that's been a conversation a lot of people are having, that they know somebody who had brain cancer, or, oh my gosh, what is this about, and what kind of surgery do you have to have, and whatnot. So who better to join us on the show than Dr. Philip Stieg, founder and chair of the Weill Cornell Medical Brain and Spine Center, and president of the Brain Tumor Foundation as well. And we could go on and on about Dr. Stieg's resume, and certainly this is his expertise. Dr. Stieg, I can imagine a lot of people were asking you about Senator McCain. So first of all, what kind of brain cancer was he diagnosed with?
He was diagnosed with what is the most common form of primary brain tumor, which is a tumor that originates in the brain that we see in the glial category. It's called a glioblastoma, and when we think about glial tumors, they're graded on a scale of 1 to 3, 3 being the worst, and his being a glioblastoma makes it a grade 3. So it's the most aggressive form of glial tumor that we have to deal with as neurosurgeons.
Yeah, and so when we hear that, and we kept hearing the word aggressive, what does that mean as far as surgery is concerned? What's typically what happens?
Well, typically what happens is once a diagnosis is made, then the protocol that we try to follow is an aggressive surgical resection followed by radiation therapy with concurrent chemotherapy. The extent of the resection is obviously dependent upon the size of the tumor and the location of the tumor. If the tumor is in what we refer to as eloquent brain, meaning the visual cortex, the speech cortex, or the motor cortex, then we're limited in regard to the extent of resection that we can perform, because this is a tumor that it's an infiltrative tumor and it sends little tentacles into the normal brain, and there isn't a real boundary. You don't know when you've reached the end of it. So there's a limit to how much we can resect.
Is this typical what you see? Because as you know, when he went in, when the senator went in, he was there to just remove a blood clot from above his left eye, and that's what they found.
It's not the most common presentation for this type of tumor. They are known to bleed, but more commonly they would present with either a seizure or with some neurologic deficit, again, dependent upon where the tumor is located.
Yeah, and when you actually do the surgery, you know, you and I have talked about the kinds of surgery that you can have. You talked about the surgery, of course, where often typically you're awake. In this kind of a surgery, would the person be awake?
Most probably he was not. I have not seen his scans, so I don't know exactly where the tumor is located. That being said, given the approach that they took, I suspect he was asleep and they resected the tumor without him being awake. As we talked about earlier, the only times we really do awake surgery is when the tumor is located in those eloquent areas of the brain.
Yeah, and the reason you and I have talked about that before, the reason is, well, there's a couple factors. I mean, first of all, from the layman's terms, I think it's amazing that you do that, but it's because of speech, etc., so you can tell what's happening, right, by what you're doing back to the patient.
Right. The reason for doing the awake surgery is that we want to know exactly where we are in their brain, and while they're awake, we can test the function that we're worried about losing during the surgical procedure. So if the tumor were in his speech cortex or if it was in his motor cortex, we would most commonly do that awake.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. One of the things the doctor said is that McCain, with this aggressive tumor, he was oriented, he had good balance, he had no headaches, no seizures, that kind of stuff. And the senator is someone who's had other malignant melanomas removed a couple of times, I guess like three of them. And he gets a lot of these kind of screenings and whatnot. And this was a significant operation, obviously, as you know. And, you know, with the bone underneath the eyebrow had to be removed to do the procedure and then put back. Wow, I've never heard of that. That's typical? That's common?
It's a new approach that we use in neurosurgery. We commonly use the term minimal access or minimally invasive surgery. The reason for doing that is the recovery is faster, and he obviously had an exceptionally quick recovery. He was discharged from the hospital within 24 hours. So that's all beneficial for the patient. It also speaks to the fact, hopefully, again, I haven't seen the scans, that the tumor was caught early and that it was small and contained within the hemorrhagic or the bleeding area that they found.
Yeah, one of the things that I read, and also you would know this too, the mortality rate, but one of the things I read is there were some statistics from a study that was done back in 2009, and the study said that almost 10% of patients with that live maybe 5 years or longer. And this is from the American Brain Tumor Association. Again, Lena, looking at mortality rates, of course, who knows, but is that typical too as well?
Yeah, as I said earlier, this is the most aggressive type of tumor that we deal with. We don't use the word cancer because it doesn't spread to other parts of the body.
Mm.
But unfortunately, it's in your brain, and as it continuously recurs, the average survival is 14 to 16 months overall. Again, having hopefully caught it early, and if he is a good responder. There are also a number of molecular markers that we use now, and those those are predictors for long-term prognosis. So hopefully he has all the appropriate markers and he will respond to the radiation and the chemotherapy.
Yeah, and you said this in the beginning, too, with the radiation and the chemotherapy. What's the typical course for that for most people? Because as we're discussing how aggressive it is.
Most people will go, we would wait after the surgery, wait several weeks for the wound to heal because radiation is hard on the scalp. And then it's 5 weeks of radiation with concurrent chemotherapy. And then subsequently the patient will get chemotherapy at regular intervals.
Yeah, you just did a presentation at the annual meeting of the European low-grade, is it glioma? Glioma Network. And in doing that, the focus there was the early detection. So what's the early detection from the physician's point of view?
What we're trying to look at is to determine the cost effectiveness of getting MRI scans. Mm-hmm. And we do, you know, not a full sequence of MRI, which can be expensive and time consuming, but a person could come in at periods in their life, or certainly people that are at high risk. And Senator McCain was at high risk, not necessarily for a glioblastoma, but for a metastatic melanoma, because they can frequently go to the brain. So you would get a quick scan that would help you detect early either metastases or a primary tumor. The major issue is everybody would like to have a scan, wouldn't you, just to make sure that you don't have any problem.
Yes.
But this is very much like mammography, you know, the discussion that goes on with that. I mean, how cost-effective is it? Can we afford to scan every citizen in the United States to rule out that they've got a brain tumor when, you know, the incidence, say, of glioblastomas is not really high. It's about 30,000 patients per year.
Yeah, glioblastoma. When we talk about that, and we talk about ages and whatnot, this across the board, you can see this. And he's 80 years old, but it could happen at any age, right?
Absolutely. You know, we see them in 30-year-olds, we see them in 50-year-olds, and we see them in 80-year-olds. You know, some people think that we're seeing more of them. It is a slight uptick, but part of the issue is we're all living longer. And, you know, 30 years ago, individuals died of heart disease and lung disease from too much cigarette smoke. And now we're living, and other things are creeping up.
Yeah, wow. And this is, too, and I looked this up to make sure I was right, Dr. Stieg, but this is the same kind of brain tumor that Senator Ted Kennedy had, if I recall.
It is. Hopefully the difference is that Senator Kennedy's tumor was in an eloquent part of his brain so that they couldn't get what is called gross total excision. And that, again, has an impact on long-term prognosis for a patient, whereas Senator McCain's was in his frontal lobe. That is a more forgiving area. Hopefully they were able to be aggressive and get a complete resection.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Philip Stieg, founder and chair of the Weill Cornell Medical Brain and Spine Center, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. Good to talk with you.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information, or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.